Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marshall Harris has become one of my favorites. You can check him out on CBS2. He does a great job of covering sports for CBS2. He joins me now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mr. Harris, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Mr. Holmes. How are you on this beautiful Tuesday? I guess you spell it T-U-E-S today, but really it's T-W-O is what I'm getting.
Yeah, that's kind of what everyone's doing. They're doing like the Lerner and Rowe thing, like that. It's Lerner and Rowe Day because of all the twos and everything else. I just wish that we could have held on to the temperature from the last couple of days. That would have made this Tuesday a lot better, but I'm learning to cope and deal with disappointment.
Yeah, people yesterday at work were like, yeah, how you like this whole peekaboo spring thing? I was like, no, I know it's winter. It's good. I see the forecast. Like, you know, you look at the what's happening tonight and then down the road, like 3 days later, you can see the snow. So you're like, no, we ain't there yet.
Yeah, we're not, nor should we be. Like, I don't even start really getting even hopeful until, like, it's, don't get me wrong, like, Sunday was great. Like, I went for a walk. I was in up and down 55th Street in Hyde Park. Like, it's like, yeah, this is nice. And then I turned around as the winds were turning around. I was like, it's time for me to go home.
That sounds exactly what like what I did. Met some friends for brunch, walked up past, I don't even know where I was. I'm still learning all the streets and everything, but I walked like 2 miles to get to brunch and 2 miles back. And like, this is gorgeous. And then today it was just like, oh, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was. It was. So where do you, after the trades were made in the NBA, what did you think? What was your initial reaction to the Bulls' chances in the Eastern Conference?
I think initially, because I've been the guy that said since day one, I was like, look, the Bulls don't have assets. It's going to be a whole buyout market thing to see if they can get some help. And obviously to get their guys back, which, you know, Arturis kind of talked about a couple of weeks ago. I was just kind of seeing what everyone else was doing, and I wasn't, nothing like said, okay, the Bulls are in a way worse spot than they were before, except for the fact that now the Sixers, like, you just, can they avoid the Sixers? Like, Joel Embiid and the work that he does against the Bulls is already, it's not fun to watch if you're a Bulls fan. But now with Harden, and if he's healthy and motivated, it just seems like the worst matchup of all the matchups.
Right. Did you cover? You covered the Sixers, right?
Bruh, I was doing pre and post game shows for a 10-win season. Yes, for a long time. I lived the, like you talk about the process. You know, I was born in the process.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. This is not even close to what the process was supposed to have wrought. Am I correct?
Well, you know, technically, this is kind of what the process was supposed to be. I mean, it's really funny. I mean, if you look back at Sam Hinkie, where did he work before he came to Philadelphia? Houston, under guess who? Daryl Morey. And now Morey is in there, and he's like, the whole point was to get good enough guys that when it was time to go, you could trade for a superstar. And look who he traded for, James Harden. And it looks very similar to what they talked about just a few years late. And after going through some guys like Ben Simmons and other highly rated prospects such as Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, and of course, who can forget number one overall pick Markelle Fultz?
Yes, that is true. The thing that I wonder, and a lot of people already kind of throwing some dirt on the grave of James Harden's career. I was surprised. I was listening to Bomani and Vinnie Goodwill kind of talking about James Harden definitely being on the downside, and I agree with him on that. I also feel like we were watching a player that was in a horrible situation just kind of meander his way through it. I have concerns about those hamstrings and whether or not he's going to be in shape. But if he's in shape, I feel like him and Embiid for 23 games in a postseason could be a real problem for people.
All you need to know is James Harden is resting right now. And while I agree he has hit the peak of his career, as Chris Paul has shown us, the plateau can be pretty good if you try to take care of yourself, LeBron James style. You know, I don't know if he's spending millions of dollars a year in maintenance to keep it going, but Harden is a guy that I would be scared of if he has the proper help, because point guard Harden is a thing, and I think he might be in position with Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid to scare some people. Now, I'm one of the very few people, though, Lawrence, who says Ben Simmons might shock us all and like be a productive basketball player now that he will never ever have to take the last shot ever again on this team that he's on anyway.
Oh, I'm with you 100% on that. I actually think that the move helped both teams, and I think both teams immediately made themselves title contenders, and I think the Sixers were kind of already there because Embiid has been so good this year. I think that not enough people are looking at the fact that he clearly didn't like the environment. Him and Embiid clearly couldn't get along. Now that he's in a place where you're right, he can look to his left or his right if it's a away game and go, I've got guys that will take the shots that I don't necessarily have to. And knowing how good of a defender he is on the perimeter and knowing that he likes to set people up as a point guard, this mix, I think, is excellent for him.
I was telling somebody the other day, it feels very Magic Johnson-esque in terms of what he can do with the players around him. Because Magic Johnson had ballers playing with him. And you look around and, you know, he's got ballers playing with him, as you said, away, at least. So I'm interested to see what happens. I would say this, don't sleep on the Bucks. Giannis is scary, man. He's a scary proposition. Like I watched that Boston Celtics blow out of the Sixers, turn around, watch the Bucks and the Sixers. And I know Embiid got the best of them that night, but like Giannis is he scares me.
Marshall Harris of CBS2 joining me here for a few minutes. When people ask you, because I'm sure you probably get asked the same way I do, whether it's in DMs or actual like conversations with people, when people ask you about DeMar DeRozan's game, what do you tell them?
The man his game is so classic. Like it seems like he's playing out of place in terms of errors, but like, you know, he's going to hit the shot. I continue to be stunned that the Lakers made their decisions that they made. They could have had DeMar DeRozan. Like that could have been their, they would be a title contender with DeMar DeRozan. Correct?
Like I agree.
A front runner. And like the idea, just like you're talking about James Harden, the idea that he's like on the downside of his career, he may not have the physical tools. Like I remember when DeMar DeRozan just dunked on everyone all the time. But he's developed such a game, much like somebody else who played for the Bulls when he couldn't jump over everyone all the time, that he's almost impossible to guard if he's hitting his shot. You have to hope he misses, because he's going to get the foul. He's going to get you up in the air 2-3 times, and he can make plays now that he spent, you know, time with the Spurs as a point guard, basically. I mean, what's not to love? The question for the Bulls, of course, is health, and can they get their defensive cogs back, and can everyone be on the same rhythm on defense?
You like the Tristan Thompson move?
I do like the Tristan Thompson move. I mean, he's better than what you had at backup center. I mean, I've seen this, the Bulls send a backup center out there and him get benched like 2 minutes later. The second unit has been an up and down proposition. There's a reason why, even though they won 5 in a row, you look at what defensively they've been doing. I mean, they've been just outgunning teams. And Tristan Thompson brings a certain heft to the lane, I think. I mean, obviously, he's not an all-star caliber player. Or he's like he's a bench player, but he can be a valuable veteran bench player, and that's something that they sorely need at this point.
Yeah, I that's how I look at it. And there's all sorts of jokes and memes that are running around.
Of course, as there should be.
Because, you know, Tristan has lived a life, and that's on him. Like, I let that man live as long as he's not hurting anybody, but he seems to be hurting people. But he as a basketball player is almost exactly what they need, and the fact that they didn't have to give away capital to get him, I think is a smart play by Acme. I really do think that it was a smart move by them.
You know what I always love is at the trade deadline when you know peripheral you know, trades are made around the margins. You know, good front offices make moves around the margins, and that's what this is. This is like not a starter. It's not earth shattering. But people who complain about Tristan Thompson, like, oh, they should have gotten more. Like, bro, do you know what they are operating with? This is a great move considering what they could give up and the fact that they didn't really give up anything. This is a great move.
Marshall Harris of CBS2 joining me here for a few minutes. Are you on tonight or is today your off day? I can't remember.
No, I'm off Saturday. But actually, it's a short week this week. I'm off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday this coming up. I got a 4-day weekend, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, I'm gonna get warm like you were getting warm. I'm not going to Arizona though. I'm going to Florida just to remember. Just to remember what it's like, man.
I had
just
a
to
friend,
have like 70, 80 degrees.
It's so great. Like if you can do it, even if it's for a weekend, I think it's worth it. Like I was lucky. I was able to work for 10 days out in the sun and it was great. I had a friend hit me up this morning, said that she was headed to Belize, and I was like, see, that's what I'm talking about. You need to go and be in Belize. Anywhere that you can get the sunshine, even if it's just in that room in your house that gets great light and you can just sit there for like 5 minutes and get that sunshine, it is so helpful. I didn't ask you about this when it happened because I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't put you on that week, but what did you think of what the Bears did?
You're talking about with just the coaching hirings and everything?
Yeah, and Ryan Pauls and Matt Eberflus.
You know, I don't get too hyped about it. I don't have the ingrained knowledge of like everything that every Bears fan has lived through per se. But I mean, we've seen it no matter what city you live in, you've seen it. Whether it was like I lived in with Marvin Lewis was hired. I was in Cincinnati. When Mike Tomlin was hired, I was in Pittsburgh. And then several iterations of coaching changes in Philadelphia. And the last one being Doug Peterson for me. Like, you just got to let it play out, man. Like, I know we want to get hyped and it's our jobs to talk about it and everything else, but I'm having a very cautious, like, what is Justin Fields going to do with this coaching staff? And then we could talk about the defense is good to me. Like they're good to go. I mean, they'll make moves and changes in free agency in the draft, but like all that really matters at the end of the day, Lawrence, at the end of the day, what is Justin Fields going to do? So you take the first time offensive coordinator and you let me know because, you know, the head coach says he's hands-off on everything, right? He's a CEO. So what is Justin Fields going to do? And that's not something we can answer right now. So we just got to sit and wait, unfortunately.
There's a lot of first times on that staff, too, which is another
– all first times. It's all first team. I mean, all first time. That's what they're doing right now.
Yep, that's what the Bears are up to. But maybe it can work. Like maybe – I'm with you. When they made the hires, I was like, okay – that's great that they seemingly let Ryan Poles kind of do his thing. I mean, I do have some questions about representation of both guys being Trace Armstrong and how there were the reports of Trace Armstrong.
The way they answered that question, Lawrence, at the press conference was very cringe when they were asked about that. They like kind of looked at each other. You want to take this? You want to take this? Like, y'all know that question is coming. Like, get it together.
Yes, Trace should have had you prepared for that question, but maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it only matters to folks like us. When it comes to baseball getting started in a timely fashion, man, are you optimistic or pessimistic?
No, I'm very much pessimistic because we've seen it too many times, man. The greed, man, the greed, and it's the billionaires versus the millionaires, and like, here's what I ask myself almost every day as I read the updates on what did or did not happen. It's like, who does it punish more for this thing to go on? And like, I feel like both sides are kind of dug it. Like the players got jacked last time around they were doing this. So I think they're going to be a little stronger this time. And I'm not optimistic that anything, I think we're going to start the season at least like 2 weeks late. Like, is that crazy for me to say?
No.
You tell me. Am I off the ledge?
No, not at all. And I will say that if they only lose 2 weeks, then that's a win for the owners. Like, that's because they will have then kind of, I'm sure, gotten extended playoffs in the mix, and they'll make that money back. And I'm sure someone's got an abacus or something that's going, we can afford to lose 30 games, 35 games off the schedule because we'll make the money back in postseason television revenue.
Absolutely. I don't think the owners are sweating it. They just, look, they know they've got a good thing going, right? I mean, they did lock the players out, right? It's not like it's a strike. They know they've got a good thing going, and they want to make sure in this next collective bargaining agreement, they keep making the strongest union in professional sports weaker than it was before.
Agreed. Marshall, have a great time in Florida, man. Enjoy your time off.
Oh, man, bro. You know I am going to have I'm on that flight. I've been thinking about all week, the short week. Yes, I will have a great time. Lawrence, thanks for always having me on. Anything you need, you just let me know, bro. I appreciate you.
Anytime. That is Marshall Harris. Watch him on CBS, too. He's fun. I think that we're going to have Marshall on more. I have to figure out a way to get Marshall on more. He, like, says stuff. I like talking to him.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.